Father, we pray you would put your hand on every person in this room this coming year, where we live in time and eternity, dwelling in the high and holy place, the secret place of the Most High, with sometimes light hearts, sometimes heavy hearts, sometimes problems and questions that cannot be solved humanly. But the Lord, our God, is amongst us. The shout of a king is here. Deliver us from evil. Give us our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Be glorified, God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Thank you, Lord. Bless our worship, our singing from pure hearts. And anyone here who has sinned recently, maybe grievously, tragically, shamefully, willfully, angrily, any one of us are washed by the blood of the Son of God. We are in fellowship with the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Father, help us, lead us. In Jesus' name, bless these words. Amen. So great to have you out tonight, and it's a joy because we, on purpose, celebrate this great Christian feast, Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Praise the Lord. The meaning of this feast is important to us because apart from being families and meeting tomorrow and no arguing or fighting and giving gifts and love and cookies and cakes and on purpose being really well behaved for 8 hours or two, and children love it because of the mystery of Santa Claus and Christmas and presents and reindeer and Christ coming into the world. The essential message that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God incarnated. What a mystery. It brings lightness, childhood mystery, thanksgiving, praise to God. For the gift of God is eternal life. Psalm 90, verse 10, we will fly away, absent from our body, present with the Lord. That might happen to some of us here this year. Some of us that are here tonight, it might happen. In any case, we are prepared. Because he that has the Son has life. We have already passed from death unto life. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Now, you are under our feet. But I'd like to say a few things tonight that might provoke us in our faith and help us. I'm going to put this, we're going to ask to put the verses up, and I'm going to ask you to digest them because I don't want you to hear my sermon without kind of getting into the verses. Chapter Isaiah, chapter 59, in verse 14. And we'll draw a diagram to help you. It's a house. This is like all my diagrams are houses. There's a door. Okay. Help me. Judgment is turned away backward. I'm going to put a person here, and he is turned away backward. Next one, justice stands afar off. I'll put a little person back here. Where's justice? Whew. Far away. Next one, truth has fallen in the street. Let's put down truth here. Let's see, put him, he's got to have a beer belly. Where is truth? Fallen in the street. Equity cannot enter. We'll put equity here. And he cannot get in. He cannot enter. What is the meaning of this verse? God cares about this house. And in the house, there's something wrong that's going on in the house. I'll put in here the word evil. An evil man has a family. And the evil man is a tyrant, angry, unjust. Evil man is in charge of the household. Children are afraid. Mom lives in terror. The daughter is abused, sexually molested. The house is a bad picture. The house is in trouble. There's something wrong in the house. And where is judgment? It's there, it sees it, but it turns back. Where is justice? Far away. What is going on in the house? There are people broken. They're broken. They're oppressed. They're afraid. That's the picture here. Look at verse 15. Yea, truth faileth. Where's truth? We'll put here, truth here somewhere, maybe on its knees. Can't do much. It fails. Truth faileth. He that departs from evil makes himself a prey. If I try to get out, I'm a target. Get back here. Get back here. Get back here. You have no right to be free. You're under my authority, my jurisdiction. God looks at this world this way. That there's something wrong here. Truth has fallen in the street, and there isn't anybody that can show up and do anything about it. There isn't anybody. Now, you can take that house and make it a family. You can make the house a country, like the communist world. Some years ago, and even today, of course, in Cuba, Vietnam, China, and other places. But it can even be, it can even be in some way where there's any lie that people are getting away with the lie. They're getting away with it. There's a lie. It's even in their right hand, but they cannot see it or realize it. It happens in my psyche, maybe, in my own soul, that I'm afraid of truth. I'm afraid of what will happen. I'm afraid of, if anybody really faces the real issue, then, what will happen to me? Be quiet. Shh, don't say anything. This is normal. This is normal. Don't do a thing. Don't make a problem. You will make a problem. Let's just, this is status quo. This is where it is. Now, look at the next verse it says here. The Lord saw it, verse 15, I'm sorry. The Lord saw it, it displeased him that there was no judgment. Imagine the world. Little enclaves of bondage and fear. Places of bad habits and oppression. Places where people cannot get free. They cannot break free. They don't know what freedom is. And now watch the next verse, 17. It says, 16. And he saw there was no man. He saw there was no man. Brothers and sisters, guess what? It's Christmas. And you know what it means? There was now a man. That's what it means. There was now a baby. And he's not afraid of this thing. That he's the answer. It displeased God when he saw the condition of the world and the human race. And of course, he'd always been planning. This is our orientation because we live in time. If we lived in eternity, we wouldn't be having Christmas on the 25th of December. We would understand it in a fuller context, not in the context of time. But because we live in time, we need to realize that God had to come in time at a point. And in coming, he had already really come. Because he was never satisfied with sinners and the devil not giving a damn about truth falling in the street or justice turning away backward. Stay away from us. Don't get involved. Stay away. Don't talk to us about this. But when God came, Herod, it said that he was in a rage when he found out that the wise men left another way and left him hanging. For he had said, when you find the babe, come and tell me, I will come and worship him. And the dream, the wise men had the dream, do not go back to Herod, and they returned a different way. And when Herod realized and he found out about it, he was in a rage. Because he doesn't want any king of the Jews interfering with him. There are people that don't want they don't want God in the mess that is in their life. They don't want God. They don't want to come close to God. They don't want to show up. They don't want God to show up. They don't want God. There are people that don't want God. They will take religion, but don't give me God. They'll go to church, but don't talk to me like that and get in my life. Because like, I don't really want it. But look at the verse with me and we'll see that something here, verse 16, he saw there was no man and he wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him and his righteousness. He has sustained him. That's Psalm 40. Wow. I don't know. I just am thinking about it tonight in the spirit, praising God. Because, you know, in our diagram, do you know what this means? Jesus doesn't fall in the street, and he's not trying to get in. He comes right in, and he says, hello. I'm not like you. I'm not a liar like you. I'm not deceitful like you. I'm a righteous man. I'm gracious. I have truth in me. I am Christ. I am the answer for the world. I am the living Christ, the living God that came into a sinful world. And we said, out of here, crucify him. And we did. But he came back. And he keeps coming. He doesn't quit. He keeps coming. And you might say in your heart, I need him. And he is saying, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end and everything in between. I have the keys of death and hell. I am the one you're looking for. I'm the one that'll satisfy you. I'm the big, long drink of cold water. I'm the one that satisfies your soul. I'm the one that'll speak peace unto you, into your heart. I'm the one that will reveal righteousness to you. I'm the one that will set you free. Yeah. Verse 17 says, it's about Jesus. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. So he was prepared. When he came, he set the captive free. And he hasn't stopped doing that for us. In the beginning of the sermon, I asked you, in the beginning of the service, has Jesus done anything for you? What has he done? He has affected our hearts. He has turned the switch on to God. We cry, Abba, Father. We start looking at the invisible. Like, I can't see God. I don't see him, but I love him. Remember, Thomas said, unless I see him, put my hands in his side. And Jesus said, here I am. And then he said, blessed are those that are at 6025 Moravia Park Drive and everybody else in the world that has not seen but still believe. Like Thomas, I feel we've got a blessing you don't have. You had a blessing you could touch him. We've got a blessing we can't touch him. But we know him. God, he's the one that speaks and puts our house in order and casts the wickedness out and puts the righteousness in. Though we are not perfect, yet our families benefit from the freedom and the spirit. I'll put here spirit of Christmas, spirit of God, the spirit of grace. Why do the people in this world, they don't know anything about the holiday in any deep way, and yet they somehow catch the spirit of the whole thing. Somehow they start to feel good about giving gifts and receiving love and spending time together and realizing that life is love and forgiveness. Yeah. So our forefathers in the faith wrote these psalms or songs, and they went out in the streets in England caroling, and the writers and literary writers and songwriters they brought into our Christian culture this amazing sense of love in our neighborhoods. And the whole idea of Santa Claus bringing gifts to children around the world brightens the whole thing. It's not about evil. It's about grace. It's not about fear. It's about love. It's not about bondage in a house. It's about a Savior who came to set us free. Now, in closing, what is it? Number one. Sin. People don't realize it. It destroys us. It's a cancer. Yes, sin. It's bad bacteria. It's death. Sin. It works in us like a disease. Sin. It affects my mind, puts a man in this house, an evil man, governing his whole thing and says, stay away from me. I fear you. I am ashamed. I am afraid. I am guilty. Sin. Sin is the bondage and disease of the human race. Sin is the evil that is in the world. The love of money, the love of sex, the love of power. The human nature is saturated with a love for power, for money, for sex, for my lust, my passion. And then I get along with others and we're in a house of evil. And justice would like to go in, but it turns away backwards for some reason. And they get a conspiracy, a whole thing of connecting with each other, mutual admiration and the support of wickedness based on wickedness and my own desire and sin nature. And the demons are feeding on it. but not Jesus. He shows up and the demons run in seven directions. Not Jesus. He goes in the house, sits down and has a cup of coffee, starts to love and talk and minister. And people start to melt and realize that this guy is dead serious. This guy's got some ammunition. He's got some words. He's got some kindness. He's got the Spirit of God is on him. He's drenched with the Spirit of God. And when you love something, you talk about it. Jesus talks about his Father. Jesus talks about righteousness. Jesus talks about freedom. Jesus tells parables and stories to break through, that people that are afraid start to realize, I love him. I need him. He loves me. He can help me. I start to realize when Jesus is in the room that there's something going on, and it's God sent Christ so that people's lives would be changed. Wow. When he died on the cross, our sins were atoned for by his blood. Real blood. From a real Savior who died like a lamb slain, bleeding on a cross that could take our sin away. When he died on the cross, he became our priest, and he took his blood after the death of Christ into heaven and presented it there before his Father. And on that blood is sprinkled upon our conscience while we are here on the earth. And we're not free, we're not guilty of our sin anymore. I once was soul winning in Budapest on Váci utca. I spoke to a man from Holland. He was a tourist, and he was shifty-eyed, and he was nervous, and I talked. He calmed down a little bit, and I didn't know what was going on. He said, I just got out of prison. I'm on a vacation here for a week. I said, why were you in prison? He said, because I killed a man. And he said, it was like an accident. I got in a fight outside a bar room, and the man pulled a knife on me, and we got in a fight, and I killed him with his own knife. And he said, I see his blood on my hands every day. I said, how long were you in prison? I think he said 7 years. I said, well, I'm talking about Jesus. See, God does not love me. God does not love me. God does not love me. Truth has fallen in the street. I could turn away from him. Justice turns back. We could leave the guy alone. Nothing happens in his life. There's no Jesus Christ coming into his life. We could turn away. He goes home. He's depressed. He's already psychologically affected by his crime. It seemed he was so upset. And I tried to calm him down and, talk to him, and we had a contact. I felt there was something there. And I said, your story reminds me of Moses. Moses killed a man, and I'm sure he saw the blood on his hands. But his life wasn't over. God's truth comes into that house, and truth sets you free. Truth says you are not your sin. I came to set you free. Truth comes into the house. Hello, I am here. I forgive you. The Christ on the cross, it's why God came. Not to just monkey around and be a philosopher and talk and go away. But he came to do real business. He came to shed his blood and die on the cross and be resurrected. Then I said to the man, there's another man you remind me of. It's David. David killed one of his best friends because of a woman. By the way, a lot of you guys, you can get in a lot of trouble with women. And by the way, all you women, you can get in a lot of trouble with a lot of the guys. And some of them are sitting in this room. They're all over the place. We get in trouble with each other. We get into trouble with getting out of bed in the morning. We get in trouble just by waking up. We are walking trouble. We are trouble that is incarnated. We are in our flesh, living in a mortal body. But we need somebody who's going to show up, and he's not going to be a comedian, an NFL football game, a recreation paddleball game. It's not going to be a thing in the club. It's not going to be he's going to show up. It's not going to be an affair or a pile of money or playing the lottery. No, when God shows up, he shows up. He does. The greatest gift in the world is Christ. The greatest thing you could do is give all your heart to him and trust in him. And he will come in and love you. The manifestations of God are many. Sometimes he's loud. Sometimes he's silent. Sometimes it's gentle, like dew on in the morning, the morning dew. Sometimes it's like a waterfall, like Niagara Falls. God shows up. Sometimes like a child, like a lamb. Sometimes like a lion. God shows up. God shows up in the church, and I need to become a churchgoer, not a phony church, empty, dead thing, but the living Christ, the Spirit of God, to speak to me from this amazing book and help me. Third thing I said to this young man, you remind me of the Apostle Paul. He murdered Christians, but God wasn't done with him. And same with you. And everyone sitting here today, I don't care who you are, what you have done, there is a Christ that came into the world. Merry Christmas. It has a lot of meaning. It means that in January and February and all through the year, it means that I have an answer for my life at any time. It means that I have a living God who cares for me in the morning and in the nighttime, when I'm young and when I'm old. It means that he prepares us in this lifetime to meet him one day, and we will. So when we sing tonight these carols, for a few of them at the end of the service with our candles, we are remembering that boldness, that courage. I looked for a man and I couldn't find any. So I came, clothed in righteousness, ready to go right into the hell itself, right into the devil and say, you are a liar. Remember The Wizard of Oz? I love that little movie, Wizard of Oz. And they're trying to find the Wizard of Oz, right? And there's Dorothy and the Tin Man and there's the Lion, and they all need something. They need courage. They need a heart. They need a mind. It sounds like a Christian life. I need a heart. I need a mind. And I need courage. It sounds like that. So they go in to see the Wizard of Oz, and the little dog, you know, he's about this tall. You know, he's barking. And he pulls the curtain back. And who's the wizard? A little paranoid man pulling levers, paying no attention to the man behind the curtain. He's a little paranoid little man. He is not a great wizard, and this is like the devil. The devil goes, ah, and a little dog, woof, 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 comes in, pulls the curtain back. What? You are nothing? Look at the house there. The evil man is actually nothing. The terrorist, the murderer, he's got a big bark, but he has no bite, because he cannot take my life, because Christ gave me life, and you cannot undo what Christ has done. The devil is a liar. He lies in our culture, in our face, day and night, and he tells you, you cannot get out, you will not get free, you have no answer. And a little dog comes, woof, 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 and he comes in, pulls the curtain back, and we go, like, are you kidding me? This mighty man is a little paranoid nobody. They always are. That lie that holds you in bondage is a lie. It has no authority unless you believe it. Let me lie to you right now. Napoleon Bonaparte, you've all believed he's French, but he is Chinese. Napoleon Bonaparte is Chinese. He is Chinese. Does that mean anything to you? You know that it does. You know he is French. The lie has no power unless you believe it. If you believe it, then it has power. But if you know that I'm a fool saying such a thing, that you will not believe me, then it has no influence on you. It's foolishness, same in this life. You should be saying that certain things in this life are foolish. They're nothing. They're empty lies. They are bondages if you believe them. If you cannot get out of that house or truth cannot enter, you're in a lie. And this whole world is about that. There are lies that are being told all the time, and the devil is the father of lies. But Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And through Jesus Christ, this amazing manifestation of God in time for us has changed our lives. Follow him. Believe him in your heart. Okay? Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, you've given your Son so that we could live in you and have a new way, a new life. And many of us sitting in this congregation, all of us, Lord, we are humbled by it. We are believing it. We are hungry for it, and thank you for it, God. And anyone here tonight, if you haven't started your journey believing in Jesus, it's awesome. Do it tonight. You say, I cannot. I'm not a believer. I got a lot of questions. Very good, very good. So have we had, and so we still have, that we don't come to the end of it. But it's exciting to believe that tomb is empty, and how did it get empty? The prophets told the truth, and how did they do that? The Jewish people are a unique race of people. How did that happen? The living God brought them out of Egypt. How did that happen? The Pentecost happened. How did that happen? And your salvation tonight is before you. It's yours. Believe in him. It's yours. It's that simple. Take it. Believe in him. Believe in Jesus. And he will show you. You will grow in your faith. He will show you. Be serious about it. Believe in him. Accept him. Leave your stuff at the cross. Bring it before God. Say, God, here's my stuff. Here's my sins, my addictions, my fears, my unbelief. Here it is, the whole thing. Not hiding from you, you are God. But I have to be honest enough to say, here I am. And I trust that you can save me by your great love for me. You came for that. Save me tonight in Jesus' name. If you said that prayer, then you are born again. It's that simple. You are born of God if you believe in Christ. You are born again. You are born of the Spirit, not the flesh. You are born of God, and God is your Father. Start to talk to him personally as you walk along the street. When you go to your car, when you drive the car, start to talk to God. He is your Father, and he will show you, help you, answer you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell you one story. I told it many times before. When I got saved, I was 19 years old. I was at college. I was in the shower as an unbeliever. I was not believing, but I believed in Jesus. I accepted Jesus. I had 19 warts on my hand, two hands in my arm, two arms. I counted them in the shower. I counted little skin warts. I don't know where they came from or why I had them. But they were there, didn't pay much attention to them, but I counted them. I said, okay, God, if you're there, I don't know. You know I don't really believe in you, but, you know, let's go for it. If you are God, then take these away. Within a month, they're all gone. I go, okay, let's go. I'm ready, let's go. I don't know, but I go. And I went little by little by little, and same with you. You start your journey by faith. God will answer your prayer. God will help you. God loves you. Okay, amen.